Welcome to our last series of the parables of Jesus. Today, we're going to look at the parable of the prodigal son, taken from Luke 15, verse 11 to 31. We all know by now that Jesus loved using narratives to convey messages. The beauty of narratives, in my opinion, is they speak to each one of us differently, depending on our personal circumstances or whichever stage we are at in life when we listen to them. The meaning then becomes personal to each individual. The prodigal son is one of the most famous of Jesus' parables, so it's no wonder that it is also considered one of the best short stories in the English language. Jesus was very intentional and deliberate about the stories he told. At the time he narrated the story of the prodigal son, he was accused by the Pharisees and the scribes of receiving and eating with sinners. In this parable, Jesus tells us about a father and his two sons. The youngest of the two asks the father for his share of the estate. Without any objection, the father then grants his son's wishes. With money in hand, the son sets off to a faraway country where he lives precariously and, of course, squanders all his money. He then finds himself a job feeding pigs. Whilst doing this job, he had no food to eat, not even what the pigs were being fed. In his state of hunger and despair, the youngest son remembers how well his father treated his servants and decides to go back home. Dreading the encounter with his father, he carefully considered and scripted what he was going to say when he gets home. First, he was going to say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." To the son's surprise, while he was still at a distance, his father sees him, runs to him, embraces him, and kisses him. Before he could spew out the last of his rehearsed script, the father ordered the actual servants to organize a feast to celebrate his son's return. Now, I said in the beginning that narratives resonate with each one of us differently. However, as Christians, we can all identify with the older son who stayed with the father. He exhibits traits of a model son: faithful, hardworking, and reliable. So, naturally, it's within his right to be annoyed that his wasteful and selfish younger brother was being given such a grand reception. Mind you, this is a perfectly natural human reaction. As religious people, there may be more of the older son in each one of us. Most of us would have grown up going to church every Sunday, having never drifted away from God, tried our best not to swear, and most importantly, tried to have lived an obedient life. Perhaps a number of us have never drunk a little too much and had to stagger home barefooted in the early hours of the morning. But there may be a few of us that can shyly admit that we have. The point is, we probably sit here today because We are all trying to achieve the same thing, to be careful with our money, in control of our passions, to commit to clean living, and show respect to each other. Because we appear so perfect, we often lack empathy for each other's mistakes and shortcomings. We are often quick to condemn those who do not conform to rules or behave the way we think they should within the norm. If we are to step into the older brother's role, we will all echo the same reaction. How dare he had the audacity to ask his father, who is still alive, for his share of the inheritance, then takes off to have the time of his life, went broke and returned home, and then gets a royal welcome. The father must surely be mad. We all carry around an air of self-righteousness, and we can be very judgmental and unforgiving in our attitudes towards others. This kind of attitude, as we have been reminded in the sermons of the last 2 weeks about the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18 and the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, is contrast to God's kindness that is not limited to a seemingly deserving few. Those of us who are more mature in our faith often hide behind the policy of respectability, which also gives us the right to harshly judge the actions of younger believers with no tolerance for misbehavior or anyone stepping out of line. Whenever my own children tell me they do not feel like going to church, cooking them a Sunday roast or a hearty meal will undoubtedly be the last thing on my mind, let alone throw a fist like the father did in the parable. Even though the older son did all the right things, it's obvious he lacks a relationship with the father, as he did not know that the rest of the father's estate was already his per the Jewish law. So he feels entitled to behave in such a hard-hearted and self-righteous way instead of joining in the celebration of his brother's return. Through the behavior of the two sons, we were able to witness God's kindness. No matter how righteous we think we are, we all fall short of grace. We have done or say things that are not pleasing to God, but God's love will always pull us close. The journey the youngest son took back home is perhaps the most important for all believers. The son had memories of his father's goodness to his servants. Before setting off on his journey back home, though desperate as he was, he admitted and took ownership of his own mistakes without any excuse by using words like "I will" and "I have." We all have the tendency to wander away from our Heavenly Father, looking for fulfillment and satisfaction in worldly possessions. Brothers and sisters, whether you identify with the older son or the younger son right now, God wants us to make that journey back to Him. Everything we need is waiting for us at home when we decide to make that journey back to our Father's house. As we have seen from the warm welcome the prodigal son received, our Father delights and rejoices in sinners repenting and returning home. He is waiting for us with a hug and a feast, Jesus promised us in John 6 verse 37, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Thank you for listening, and I will now pass you on to Kingsley, who will look at some practical implications of this parable. Thank you.
The prodigal son story can also be related to the lost sheep, which appears in the Gospels of Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 to 14, talking about a shepherd who leaves his flock of 99 sheep to find the one which is lost. This example means that every person is precious to God. We can also compare the prodigal son story to our typical life. For example, what do we do when a child got missing? We search for the missing or the lost child immediately with anxieties and then report the incident to police, family members, and other institutions we trust to support us to find the lost child. And we all know that when we find the missing or the lost child, the whole family and the community celebrate the good news. As Jesus said in Luke 15:7, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Brethren, this parable simply tells us that whatever the situation, we are not too dirty for God to cleanse. We are not too broken for God to fix. We are not too far for God to reach. We are not too guilty for God to forgive. And finally, we are not too worthless for God to love, because God is love. And anyone who does not love God does not know God. May God bless you all, and thank you.